I'm going to be discussing Fluvax View, which is what we kindly named our, intimately named our website for influenza vaccination coverage. It reports in utilization. Just have to go ahead and thank the Public Informatics Conference for the opportunity to present these findings. So first, I would just like to go ahead and discuss some of the vaccination coverage informatics gaps that we've had to deal with over the years. In terms of usual practice and vaccination dissemination, in terms of influenza vaccination coverage, really the only thing that we had available was final season estimates. We were using surveys from different groups, and basically what they were asking were questions like, have you been vaccinated over the past influenza season? Those were the only kind of information.
Here.
Let's move your mic a little closer.
There you go.
Okay. You stand a little closer too.
So the publication of these, is everything, can everybody hear?
Yeah.
Okay. So the publication of these estimates were nearly two flu seasons late. In terms of when we would get the data back, it would be nearly at the end of that flu season. The next flu season would have already started, and we would have just gotten the information back from the previous flu season. So in terms of analysis on that data and then publication of the information, it was about two flu seasons late past when we were actually getting the information in. So this obviously allowed for a very limited amount of data available for in-season planning for different stakeholders. In terms of all other vaccinations, so these are the children's vaccinations for adults, for children and adolescents. The publications of these estimates were typically about a year later. There's no season per se for other vaccinations. Influenza is the only one with a season. So presenting this data was something that we were very interested in. We had a lot of information. The surveys that we use are BRFIS and NIS. So these are big surveys with a lot of past year's data. So our in-house solutions really just weren't meeting our needs. What we were able to do, we just couldn't get the information out the way that we would have liked to, in a timely manner in most cases. You always think about the triangle of quality, cost, and efficiency and everything like that. And so in terms of that, we were really looking to meet all three aspects of it. So the information that we were able to present was really limited to like static maps and charts. And this is just from what we were able to do in-house, Excel basic information. So in terms of emergency response, obviously, we had to deal with the H1N1 pandemic. This is a lot of things changed. The influx of emergency operations just completely changed everything that we were doing in terms of getting estimates. From getting yearly estimates, we were now getting weekly estimates at this time, weekly, bi-weekly, monthly estimates for vaccination coverage uptake, who was getting the vaccination, when were they getting the vaccination, those kinds of information. And at that time as well, we were also dealing with the multiple vaccinations. So we were dealing with seasonal only H1N1, and then, of course, what we considered any dose, which was seasonal and or H1N1 vaccinations. So our multiple data sources, we were having a lot of different surveys. A lot of surveys were specifically designed just for the H1N1 pandemic, and so we were using that information as well. So we needed the data presented in a lot of ways. What we were doing, obviously, like I said before, was, you know, simple things that most people could do, Excel tables, PowerPoint slides, and in terms of the emergency detail that was brought in, we were doing SAS maps as well, and SAS animated maps as on top of that. So the options that we really had in terms of the data dissemination for us is there is a tool from CDC called WONDER, which is a wide-ranging online data for epidemiological research, which is basically an online database and ad hoc query system. So it would have met our needs very well. The thing is that it would take a lot of time. This is something that we would have to work with another team. And on top of that, with the amount of data that we had, they didn't even have enough staff to support us. So that obviously kind of, you know, you're kind of hitting a wall there. In terms of the GIS team here at CDC, the Geospatial Research Analysis and Service Programs is a really great team to work with, and they make incredible products. It's just that at the height of our pandemic and everything, we were producing these slides every single week. That you know, you're requesting this information, you're going to have to go back and forth. Maybe obviously at the very beginning, maybe after time, you guys may have an understanding of what you're really looking for so they know what you want, but it's still very time consuming, and if we're doing this every week, we're resubmitting a request every single week just to get this information out. Obviously, we can contract for a GIS development software. That is a lot of money, in the hundreds of thousands of dollars in terms of the expense, and then obviously a huge long time frame in order to have somebody to actually create something for you, designed specifically for your information, from production to online, because obviously where we were going with this was something that we could actually get this data out to a lot of people, and online was the way that we were doing, obviously, publications previously. So this was just another way to e-publish, essentially. And then, of course, we would have to deal with a new expense for every single update. So every time new data came in, we would have to deal with another expense. So as I said, we did use SAS maps during the pandemic, which, unfortunately, I mean, there's kind of like give and take with it. The quality was really poor. SAS is not necessarily a graphics program. You kind of get your way around that, dealing with whatever you have to work with. In terms of we did have animation, which is a little bit something more, and not everybody necessarily knows how to program SAS animation in graphics. So this was our only option available for use in use of existing staff. So these are people on our team that we could actually, you know, programmers and stuff like that, that we could give the data to and expect a product. So we actually had learned about Instant Atlas prior to the pandemic, and it was a tool that we had started to look into, and then obviously once the pandemic hit, it was something that we, I think, took a lot more seriously. So Instant Atlas was a part of the visualization solution now widely used by state departments and introduced at WHO for the Global Health Observatory. And then beyond that, there is the presidential initiative to use prepackaged products to control government spending. And Instant Atlas is just an out-of-the-box software, really simple to use. So these were some of the higher points that we had with it. So in terms of the benefits for us dealing with Instant Atlas, this is really what's driving our vaccination coverage website. It's completely inexpensive. I mean, in terms of your contrast to like a complete data configuration, a GIS concept, an entire HTML web page, a huge cost. This time you're only paying for it with one license, and you can produce an infinite amount of reports. It's just like any other software. You're quickly presenting the data. It's really easy to see everything. It's completely interactive. And I'll be showing you some more examples of it later and possibly even do a little demonstration of it from online. The great part about it is there's really, you know, you don't have to know GIS. This is a GIS tool and it's a GIS software, but you don't have to know it. All you need is the access to the GIS files that you're going to be using. So basically all we're doing is using shape files that are publicly available or available that we can get created in-house at CDC and just applying it to the templates that they have in terms of the software. They also have an extensive technical support, which is you would have to pay for, but it's something that, you know, they're very open to helping you customize anything however you need it done. And so very easy, very customizable. You can use it for any data sources. We started using it with flu vaccination, obviously. Disability also has a server out there, the Instant Atlas server that they're working on to get out right now on all of their information as well. So it really means that met the need for us for rapid data dissemination. We can get this information out on a regular basis. We were getting information out nearly monthly last season when we finally had it completed, and we had the full information out. I mean, and that's something that we can do during this season, which is a really big advantage. So these are just a few of the templates that Instant Atlas actually provides, so you can see the different applications. There's everything from election poll results to double maps to correlations to bubble plots. It's really just easy to get it into whatever data form that you have and just apply it to whatever you need. And so using it with FluVaxView and our web page, for the influenza, we're really what we're using is a single map template. That template is going to be our interactive map, and it's basically just the coverage of vaccination by age subgroups and race ethnicity. There's a lot of different components to that, and you'll see it as I go through it. The area profile template is the comparison tables, which basically just gives a summary report of all vaccination measurements in comparison to the United States average. So as I said before, in terms of the software, all we're really doing is we're using shapefiles for the geometry of the maps. The design and customization of the templates for the flu for our flu coverage data was done completely in-house by my colleague on the team. The entire application of it basically functions as an HTML web page. That's all it really is. It's very simple to get to, completely out on CDC's public web pages and everything. It's a really great tool. It is Adobe Flash, so you would have to have Flash on your computer or whatever product you're using. So it is really cool. I can access it from my Android phone and pull up vaccination coverage, on a whim if I feel like it, which is really interesting to me. So the platform required, what we're actually using is we're using the desktop software. There is a server option. So licensed to individual staff, and we all use it and then produce the product. We are working with our CDC flu web team to actually manage the web page and everything else, but that's the majority of outside cooperation that we would need in terms of putting this product out. So a team can really do this on their own and then just have somebody help them with the web page, and so that it would be very useful. So FluVaxView, as I said, it's our CDC website for influenza vaccination coverage that we launched in 2010. It provides national, regional, state, and selected local area vaccination coverage estimations. Easy to access influenza vaccination coverage. This is near real time. Nobody's ever really put vaccination coverage out the way like this before. We've done two updates already. We have our full season data in right now, and so we'll be updating the reports again. So that's three updates within an entire flu season, which you would have never had that kind of information before. And so this is really changing things. And so obviously you can see it's all just complements to the MMWRs and public other published articles that we're working with. It improves knowledge and awareness about the vaccination uptakes. It lets people plan for different applications of influenza coverage. Also helps with flyers and posters and media stories. This entire thing is completely customizable and exportable. You can actually use what you see and the information, vaccination coverage, and you can take it and you can use it wherever you like. As she was saying about taking it from an actual user up to the higher levels, this is exactly what this is for. And so you can find us. The easiest way to find us is if you go to cdc.gov/flu. And if you notice the Flash module up there on top, we're actually the first image. We're FluVaxView on flu vaccination coverage. What we really like to talk about is just the fact that what gets measured gets done. And what we're saying there is that, there's Healthy People 2020 goals and everything that we're looking to eventually meet at some point in time. And whatever we're measuring, we want to put it back out there. We want to make sure that it gets reported back out there and to make sure that it's knowledgeable data. With the goals and everything like that, they're looking to 80-90% influenza vaccination coverage by 2020, and this is a wonderful way to monitor it in and of itself. And so that's our actual flu link. That's our actual link in the image of our homepage right there. If you scroll down, you'll see the interactive reports, and I'll be going over those shortly. So you can see the number of data sources that we have. We're working with some really big surveys, and it's a lot of data. So what we've been doing is we've really been using this FluVaxView as an application in reporting all of the data that we have. So for our vaccination coverage estimates, in terms of our interactive surveys, what we're actually using is this combined survey of BRFIS and NIS and possibly NHFS, depending on the season, to combine to get a full adult and child coverage information for you. The methods and limitations, we're actually using a survival analysis, which helps us bring in some more larger sample sizes just for stronger results. In terms of the methods and limitations, there are documentation of that, so any questions on the actual analysis is definitely always there. For the 2010-11 season, we combined the BRFIS and the NIS data, and we already have 7,000 estimates. By the end of this season, we're obviously looking at a lot more. For the 2010-11, with our three vaccinations and our different age groups and everything, we were looking at almost 25,000 final season estimates. And that's just in one season. And so we're putting this out on a regular basis. So this is just a great shot of our interactive reports and all the fun things that you can do with them. Just kind of really quickly go through our reports. So as I said, they're being driven by Instant Atlas, and we're just using shape files that are publicly created or CDC created. Our two designs, our report one and report two, the interactive map and the comparison table. State, regional, and national estimates are available on the interactive reports. State or local area estimates are available in publication form right now, and we would be working towards interactive reports of the local areas as well. And so help guides are available for both of the reports for all the customization and different aspects of how you could use it. So just to go over the components of it, you can see a lot of the different pieces that we have. And this is just in one of our reports. This is just our interactive report. So what you're seeing is a selection of the data, and these are all the data groups that we have available to you. So we have, besides just adult and children, we have the age breakdowns depending on high-risk conditions, as well as race ethnicity, and possibly even race ethnicity by age, depending on sample sizes by the end of the season. So some of the things that you'll see are the state and regional national tables. You can go back and forth between the two and look at the different coverage estimates that you have available. You can sort down to a selected region, your specific HHS region, or just a selected group of states that you may happen to have an interest in. You can filter that all down, and then that way when you present your information, you only have the information that you have that you're interested in, not the entire U.S. that maybe nobody cares about. So obviously we have the trend lines per season. Now this is only for each individual season, so in terms of looking at the data from season to season, that would be a little bit more difficult in terms of our interactive reports right now. We are looking to hopefully fix that at some point in time. So you can check the trends of the vaccination coverage and see how it's going for your state or local area. Your state or regional area, and you can compare it coverage by month by month, and all you have to do is hover over the different pieces, and you'll see the vaccination coverage pop up with the information on it. I'm sure you notice that there's also a bar chart available. Again, the interactive map has all the capabilities. Both of the interactive reports actually have the capabilities of filtering down just the information that you're interested in. So again, you see here filtered down just to that specific HHS region, and so you can really tell where your information is falling within your local areas. The interactive map in and of itself has a lot of great features. You can visually inspect and see where your state is falling over the course of the country. There's also the different maps and age groups and different stratum that you're interested in. So if you're only interested in, say, children from a specific age, then you can definitely filter down to just that information as well. A great feature that we have is the map animation. It's something just to kind of watch and see where your state's going or your region or anything that you're really interested in is going over the course of the season. It also actually is a nice feature because it gives you the ability to kind of move through from month to month without kind of going back and having to select the age group that you're interested in, select the date, and then select the month. It's just a little bit a slightly quicker way to get through the data, move through the data a little more smoothly. And so here, I'll just do a quick demonstration of it. So this would be the coverage through September for non-Hispanic white. And then as you move through the season, you can see it change. You can see the different states change that you've selected as they move through on the different interactive and dynamic aspects of the report. So the comparison table has basically the same information, but it is the last season, reported month of the information. So this essentially would be through February information for right now. Final season data would be available shortly. And so it's just really nice to look at because it has a comparison feature to where it's comparing against the United States. So basically what you'll see is something like this when you select your information, and you can see where you're really falling in relationship to the rest of the nation. So as I said before, the customization of this report is absolutely phenomenal. You can do anything and everything to it. You can shut down the tables, you can enlarge the maps, you can enlarge the bar charts, you can really do anything you want to the report and export it as that, and use it however you need, filtered down to the exact states that you need and the exact information that you would need. Point of interest, they can all be exported individually or as a single image. So say if you take the table out and you make the map a little bit bigger and then you change the bar chart here a little bit and you export that, you'll get that exact image out. If there's anything else, it's basically whatever you do to it is exactly what you're going to get out of it. If you have any changes that you may want to go back, you can change the legend settings to the different classes and everything like that. All you have to do is press F5 and it refreshes the entire interactive report and goes straight back to the way that we had it. No damage on user side or our personal data side as well. So you can really create some really great presentations with this information. There's an example of a poster that I actually created for NIC this year, and the images were just exported JPEGs, and they came out perfectly on a 6-foot poster. The quality was actually, I was very, very impressed with it. And so you can really create some really great information and take this information to your stakeholders and other things like that, and you know, maybe light some fires under different people and kind of get us more towards the goals that we've been working for. Very easy to use, obviously, in PowerPoint and Word and any other aspects as well. And so of course, the advantages and limitations of the Instant Atlas software in use with our FluVax view data is it's really affordable. You know, we're paying $1,000 for a license or so versus you can only imagine how much it is to create an entire interactive web page. It's very interactive and portable. You can really create it to meet your needs and hone it to your own data as well as you like. The use of existing staff is a huge plus. Basically, my colleague just sat down with the software and went through the technical support help and everything else like that and picked it up and created our entire web page. It, as long as you have somebody with some talented programming experience, I think it's very easy to do this on your own. A great advantage is all you have to do is update the data to update the report. There's no changes that are going into it. All you have to do, whenever you have your new data, your updated data set, all you have to do is throw it into the report, and it regenerates the report for you. So again, I said comparing geographies within season is really easy, and the tech support from GeoWise Limited, the company that creates Instant Atlas, is really incredible. Comparing seasons within geography, again, you would probably have to, the easiest way I could say is probably to download both data sets and then kind of take a look at the trend information between the two. As I said, we would like to see something over the years, and there may be something possibly like that, but considering we're doing monthly information right now anyways, to do monthly and then to do yearly might be a bit of a push for this software. Staff support, obviously, you have to have the staff has to have the capabilities to be able to produce something like this. And in terms of clearance, for the initial posting for the web page, obviously, there's quite a bit of time that you would have to take with that. So a lot of the innovations are pretty obvious. You know, you can just take this information and really use it to your advantage for all the stakeholders and for any even users or public or media outlets or anything like that. You know, they can use CDC published data to their own advantages. And so I think that's really great. obviously you can also see that, you know, the data is getting put out on a very timely manner in terms of updates to our reports now. A matter of days, as long as we have the data and we're working with the web team on a typical basis. It only takes a couple of days to update the web page and you have brand new information out there. And so the next steps we're really looking forward to with influenza vaccination coverage in general, really, is that, as I said, we'll be putting out the final season estimates. They're already in right now, and so we're working on those and doing all of our analysis on that for currently. My colleagues are back in CDC on the big campus right now doing it. We're also going to be doing another FluVaxView webinar during the National Influenza Vaccination Week, which is usually December. This is going to be, I think, our fourth presentation on this new website this year. So we've really been doing our best to get ourselves out there and get the information out there. We are looking, as I said, to do selected city areas in the interactive format. As well as expanding to all vaccinations, so that's children and adolescents as well with the NIS data sets. So that's obviously a lot of data and a lot of information that will be in a compact area and compact site. So I would like to acknowledge my co-authors, Amparo Gonzalez-Feliciano and Jim Singleton. They're not able to be here. As well as the entire influenza vaccination coverage team. They're the ones that really do all the analysis and everything and put all the hard work into it. Our team lead is Dr. Gary Euler, along with Leah Bryan, Carla Black, Helen Ding, Carolyn Furlow, Pingjun Liu, Rosanna Setsi is actually no longer with us. She's pursuing her residency, but a dear member of our team nonetheless, and Tammy Santibanez, as well as John Bartholomew with InstaAtlas. He's been a great help with us and our main contact there. So if there's any questions regarding the content, the actual influenza vaccination, you're more than welcome to contact Dr. Gary Euler for the interactive reports functionality. Myself or Amparo are great contacts. So if there's any other questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Yeah. Per license. But in terms of the cost of the license, that's still it's a cost that's minimal compared to what else you're dealing with and everything.
So when you say license,
it's 1,000 per individual license.
Yeah, not exactly 1,000. It depends, and beyond that, you actually pay. But in terms of the, you're actually paying per template and everything like that. So you're customizing the actual software to your template as well. So if there's a template that you're not interested in, then you don't buy it. You don't option to buy it. And so they're very flexible on what they're doing and how they're doing it and everything like that. It's actually I'm more than happy to show it to you. I actually brought it up and I'm more than happy to kind of go through it and everything. So this is really it. This is created by the software InstaAtlas, and so say you were choosing the different states that are in 30 to 39% vaccination coverage range. This is exactly what you're looking at, you know. You can switch between the different tables. It highlights everything automatically. And this is something, like I said, this is a software. We can create as many of these reports as you like, you know, infinite. We can continue to create forever as long as, you know, we continue to pay for the upgrades and everything else like that. Well, we literally we created this. This was this is a template. Basically, I showed you the page with a variety of templates and everything. This was one of the templates. But at the same time, you go in and you custom design the entire thing. We labeled everything. We labeled the exact buttons. We chose to put the buttons on there that we chose to put on there. We have a footnote information. We have, you know, we moved the different tables and everything around. This is the layout that we created and we decided that we like.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Absolutely.
You create a brand new something which doesn't fall into
No.
Well, another question that
mm-hmm.
I
have. Let me have you use the mic for the people that are on the virtual conference.
Thank you.
So when you talked about the trending,
mm-hmm.
and so does this software also have the drill-through capacity? If you clicked on the information, you said once you hover on it, you can see the information, but does it also let you go into more detailed information?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it does. We don't have it optioned here,
okay.
But if you see the over here where I have the pointer, there's actually an option for like a note type of thing where it opens up a different HTML page, and you can have anything associated. Like you can have a basic state fact sheet or something to that extent, or whatever else you like, or something to that extent. The server option associated with this software is absolutely incredible. They literally generate those kind of templates for you,
okay.
and basically fill in the information with the data that you have.
And one last question. So mm-hmm. it's compatible with any database?
Mm-hmm.
Or, okay.
Yeah. The data that it's actually using is an Excel format.
Okay.
So basically, as long as you have an Excel, you can do it.
Oh, so you couldn't directly interact with the database tables?
With the server, you could, because the server has the capability to interact with between the report and the server and mm-hmm. everything like that. So there's more options with the server, but in terms of the desktop software, it's strictly Excel. It's an Excel file.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So you said that you're getting data now near real time. Is that due mm-hmm. to some technology that you implemented, or are people just, your states, giving you data now on a weekly basis instead of monthly, annually?
Right. Well, definitely last year I had to deal with the pandemic. That was completely pandemic information. We were getting information on a weekly basis. It slowed down to monthly, and in terms of the contract we have in place right now, it's on a monthly basis. The survey is done on a monthly basis, let me say that, because it depends on how the survey is created, because pre-pandemic, it was only, have you been vaccinated in the past flu season? It never associated a month with it. So this has just come from there. So that's in terms of the amount of data that we're using now.
So even with like some of the national databases that you listed, you're able to get those monthly also, get data?
Mm-hmm. Well, previously, what we were using was only public use files. During the pandemic and post-pandemic, we have had contracts with the data sources. So it's a little bit different.
Okay.
Question? You forgot. I think it's very impressive. In fact, I sent an email to our GIS person just to have them check into it, because
right.
we struggle with having an easy interactive mm-hmm. GIS solution for lay people that don't know how
right.
to map. They
exactly.
want to see maps as well.
Exactly.
A table just doesn't do it anymore.
Yeah, and GIS is a software that it's just an intense software. It really, really is. If you don't know what you're doing in GIS, you're kind of lost. And so for an application like this, it's really great. And beyond that, this is actually CDC kind of software, okayed, compliant, and everything like that. It's one of the most 508 compliant interactive tools that they have. Basically, all we're doing is providing a downloadable Excel data sheet, and that supplies the 508 compliance, because everything that's on this page is from is data. That's all it is. So we're basically getting around everything else with 508 by just throwing a downloadable file onto the page.
Connect this to a real
real-time database?
That's we would love to do that. And you can absolutely in terms of a real in terms of the applications of the software, and their server option, as I was mentioning before, it completely capable. And we're definitely looking into the server option. We have the child and adolescent data coming out soon, and so I mean that's a huge database, humongous database. That's years.
The question was if it could connect to a real-time database.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah. For us, it's not real time. But
well, right. In addition to the BRFSS data, mm-hmm. you also got feeds from local health departments on vaccination rates.
No. Well, beyond our survey data, we've done some of the internet panel surveys and the other rapid surveys. But that's the only information that we have. Yeah. We're not getting actual vaccination coverage information from any other sources. I think that would be a wonderful step. Yeah, I definitely think that would be a wonderful step in the right direction. I think something like that is completely capable. Beyond that, I think the combination and just the relationship between the actual disease and the vaccination status in and of itself, I think, is a great way to move as well. And linking those two. Especially when the data is out there and the data is public, I see no other. We actually did a flu app challenge. That challenge.gov information that was spoken about at the beginning of the conference, they used our vaccination data as part of that, and some really great innovations came out of there. I mean, these are people creating, you know, iPhone apps and everything like that, and basically just using our data. So it was great to see some of the innovations that they came out with.
Treatment program effectiveness mm-hmm. using, you know, based on the geography. Right now, all we do is for our reports, we have a small snippet of Google Analytics code that just put into the reports, and that just tells us who logged in from what site and what geographical location. So this is very interesting to see. I'm going to take this back to my company.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's our next step pretty mm-hmm. much. We want to see the coverage.
It was interesting because in finding out a lot of the information and kind of getting the history beyond it, because I came in during the pandemic. So kind of anything pre-pandemic, I had no idea about. I was with another group and everything else like that. So coming in and kind of having to go back and learn the information, they just kind of stumbled across the Instant Atlas, and it was just kind of an option before the times. But what happened is that when H1N1 happened and everything, we had all this pandemic money, and we were able to really take this and put it to good use. And with the advent of the contractors and everything, with the emergency influx, we were able to really create something really great. I think it would have been perfect during the epidemic. I mean, fabulously perfect. I mean, the information that we were sending up, I mean, these were slide sets of, you know, 100-plus slides nearly a week.
Okay. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much.
Please remember to fill out your. Go ahead. Please remember to fill out your evaluations, and thank you all for coming.